In our service tonight, I'd like to introduce the thought amongst us here in God's presence that God could heal us. And I want you to think with me for a few minutes in the beginning on Colossians chapter 1. And through the service, we have two speakers here. And I don't know what their subjects are, but whatever they are, I'm sure the Lord will speak to us through them. But I, at the end of the service, would like to anoint people with oil that would like that, and to have a prayer time when we close tonight, because miracles are in the Bible, and in simple terms, in the scientific world, we understand life by way of law and order, that there are rules that normally are not broken. There is the natural order of life in the cosmos, on the planet Earth, in regards to water and air, the sea, weather, animals, man, the nature of man, governments of men. And in all these categories, if we go through the Bible from the beginning, we see that God has order, and then we also see, as we see in this verse, chapter 1 of Colossians, and verse 16, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things exist, consist. All things consist. We could say the atomic laws, the atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, the physics of the subatomic particle world, all operating by law. And yet we know that God is the one that is behind it and literally present in it, holding it together, overseeing it, governing it. And so we have God as transcendent, being above and beyond nature, and then in it, or immanent, present in nature and holding it together. When we read the Bible, we see extraordinary exceptions. Webster's Dictionary defines a miracle, an event or effect in the physical world deviating from the known laws of nature or transcending our knowledge of these laws, an extraordinary, anomalous, or abnormal event brought about by superhuman agency. Another man said, a work out of the unusual sequence of secondary causes and effects which cannot be accounted for by the ordinary operation of those causes, which is produced by the agency of God through the instrumentality of one who claims to be his representative and an attestation of the message which he brings. Another word, being exclusively a religious book, the Bible does not set itself to define miracles from the standpoint of nature or science, but from the standpoint of the moral source, the moral power, the moral aim, the moral effect which they represented. In outlining its definition of these miracles, the Bible wisely selects its terms from a supreme and sole regard to religious and moral considerations, thus simply remaining silent as to all questions bearing on the relations of the miraculous to the internal arrangements, forces, and laws of nature. Another way of saying it is simply, God made the laws and he is in them, and it is nothing for him who is the creator of them to affect them as he pleases. The blind man in John 9, and we can only imagine, like from a medical point of view, what was wrong with the man's eyes. Was it a detached retina? Was it the abnormality in the when the baby was born, and so on? And so the laws are he's blind, but God. God, who is in those laws, made the laws, is the God of nature. So to raise a dead man or heal a blind man or a bleeding woman, or through the Red Sea, the Jews came out maybe 10-mile-wide path for 2 or 3 million people to pass through in the night. This is in the nature of God, in the order of God's world. To us, it is extraordinary. It is a wonder. But with God, is anything too hard? Or with God, it is his nature that is ruling the universe. His laws, that is one thing, but beyond his laws, I mean, those laws that we know, is the law of God, God himself, God's person, God's power, God's wisdom. This is something for us to digest and think about. Because from the beginning, if you go through the miracles of Moses, you go to the miracles of Samuel, miracles in David's time, Elijah, the miracles that we see with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, you see them then in the Gospels. We see that God is a wonder-working God. He is a compassionate God. He is a healing God. That he can do anything. That he is also our healer. He is the one that visits us and heals us, changes things. You might say, there's miracles with nature, with wind, with water, with oil, with food. There are miracles with people, with governors, with leaders, with governments. There are miracles with demonic forces, powers that you can't see that are real. There are the miracles of the demonic, the miracles of the dead. Jesus raised 3 from the dead. We see Elijah's body raising someone from the dead. And we want to recognize that tonight and just meditate on it, think about it. What could God do? God can do it quietly sometimes, just in worship and in faith. And we just pray, Lord, tonight in your name, in this assembly, by the power of your Spirit, as we listen to your word, our blood could change, our bones could change, our kidneys could change, our heart, a son, a daughter, an uncle, an aunt, a mother, a father, a business situation, a financial situation, that we are before you. Lord, we are not bowing before the laws of science. We are bowing before you, our God, and the three Hebrew boys. They said, our God is able to deliver us, but if he does not, we will not bow before the image. And Lord, we know you're able. The three Hebrew boys, you could not smell smoke on them. Daniel in the lion's den, again, a miracle. And then another miracle, and another one at the marriage of Cana. And then another one, the leper, and then another one, the woman bent over 18 years. And then another one, and another one at the pool of Bethesda. And then another one, the fish had a coin in its mouth. And then another one, Jesus walked on the water. And then another one, the catch of fish. What are you saying, Lord? You're saying to us that we are to look at you and believe you and not let a scientific mind overwhelm us and lead us in unbelief, but know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And not to believe or question or doubt, but to believe that you are God and you can take care of me, take care of my things, take care of my life, and do something in your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Just for a moment, say to your neighbor, I don't have a lot of faith, but I believe God. Or say, I got a lot of faith. I believe for you. Say to your neighbor, I want to believe God. I'm here tonight believing God. I just say it to your neighbor. I believe God. I want to believe God. God is good. God is a wonder-working God. God is the answer. God is the way. He's the answer. Hallelujah. God will answer our prayer. Amen. Anybody need a house? God will answer the prayer. Anybody need a friend? God will answer the prayer. Anybody need a healing? God will answer the prayer. Why not? Why not? He's the God of every body, cell, every part of our bodies. He is God. Yes, you are God. You are God. Hallelujah. You are the God of our liver. Yes, touch your liver. Go ahead. Heal. Hallelujah. You're the God of my heart. Lord, touch my heart. Okay, could Pastor, the Moors that are moving and the Lionses that are in Texas, we just want to pray for you. Would you like to just stand up where you are? And we want to send you out. These folks are Sean and Nicole. They live in Texas. Pastor Chris and Gosha are moving from Philadelphia next week down to Texas to be the pastor there, and they have a work going on in Houston. So everybody just turn and look at them and say, oh God, send them out. Send them out. Hallelujah. Give us a great work in Texas. And bless in Texas, Lord. Bless this church. Bless, move by your Spirit. Anoint them with fresh oil and move by the Word of God in that congregation and multiply by your great grace in Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you. Thank you.
I read my Bible better right side up. Let's pray and we'll look at the Word. Father, we thank you for tonight, your presence here, what you're doing in our hearts, and that in this short message you would continue that work of the Word in us. In Jesus' name, bring an anointing to bring this to pass for each of us who hear. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Do you mind if you introduce yourself, or do you want me to? I'm doing it now, I guess. This is Pastor Eric Handel from upstate New York. B is here, and his wife from Norway. And Pastor Eric is a spirit-filled man. His vocation is his calling for God, from God. His occupation has been a school teacher in public schools in New York State. He retired, went as a missionary over to Hungary. He's an excellent teacher, great preacher, great friend, great believer, has many spiritual children, and many other things we could say. Okay, so welcome him. He's an awesome, awesome.
If you believe all that, you have a lot of faith. More than I. Let me start you with a story that'll introduce really what I want you to ponder tonight. There was a Native American Indian chief, and he had a grandson who adored him and looked up to him and wanted to be like him. So the grandfather to the grandson, the grandfather would teach this child, and he respected his grandfather, the great chieftain, greatly. So one day this chieftain said to this little boy, he said, "There are two wolves living within you." And the little guy got very nervous about this. Two wolves. And he said, "One of these wolves is very evil. He's cruel. He's vicious. He's mean. He's dishonest. He's devious." And the little boy says, "Well, how about the other wolf?" "Well, the other wolf is courageous and strong and honest and brave." This chieftain said nothing more to the little boy, and he's getting very nervous about this, and he's thinking about these two wolves that live within him. So the next day he has a little chat with the great chieftain, his grandfather, and he says, "Grandfather, there are two wolves in me." "Yes." "Grandfather, one is very evil, one is very good." "Yes." "Well, then, grandfather, then they will fight." "Yes, they will." And the little boy says, "Who will win?" And his grandfather says, "The one you feed." And of course, that speaks to us about, if you will, the great paradox of human beings, particularly Christians. Because, if you will, we can identify one of those wolves in the scriptures, if you will, in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, where the Apostle Paul cries out and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Okay, we've identified him. But then the same Apostle Paul will say, "Therefore, if any person is in Christ," in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new, have become new." Now, wait a minute, Paul. You just said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," and then you just said, "By the way, you're a new creature in Christ." Well, obviously, Paul understood the struggle that he had at times with the old sin nature and the victory he had with a new man in Christ. And that's the paradox that we call a Christian. That's what's going on the inside. And of course, we come here to feed the right man. And he will prevail. And if you will, that kind of paradox shouldn't surprise us, because life is filled with them. And I want to define this for you just a little bit here. In Greek, a paradox is that which means contrary to expectation. And of course, when Paul yells out, "Oh, wretched man that I am," what? The Apostle Paul? He's obviously a paradox. It's not what you expect. not from Paul. But in English, the word paradox, it grows a little bit. It gets more involved. In English, and this is actually from Webster's Seventh New Collegian Dictionary, a paradox in English is a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, yet it is perhaps true. So, if you will, as I mentioned, we are paradoxes. And then I've added one, just this is Handel's definition for a paradox. It gets even a little, goes on a little bit. Two things that are diametrically opposed to each other, but both are true at the same time. A paradox can develop to be like that. Two things that, if one is true, the other can't be true, but they're both true. And we have those in the Word of God. Now, if we are going to have wisdom for this time, we're going to need wisdom that's from above in James 3:17. We've heard that all week. But that wisdom, if you will, is paradoxical. It doesn't always make sense, but it works. And it may seem to be doomed for failure, but it succeeds because God has promised it. So for us to grow in that wisdom, we have to live in paradoxes and learn to enjoy them and have God reveal them to us. Now, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 9:17, he understood that life is filled with paradoxes. He says here, I returned and saw that under the sun, that the race is not to the swift. Wait a minute, Solomon. Doesn't the fastest man win the race? Not always. Nor the battle to the strong. Doesn't the strongest army win? Sometimes. He understood that which you expect does not always happen, and sometimes we have something that happens that is a real paradox. And then, interestingly enough, Solomon himself was one of the greatest paradoxes in the Word of God. For in 1 Kings 4:29, he said, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. There's a lot of sand out there, folks, on the seashore. And he had an incredible amount of wisdom and knowledge. But you do know the rest of the story, don't you? It says in 1 Kings 11:4, Solomon grew old, and his wives turned his heart after other gods. And he worshipped dumb idols with his wives. So what do we have in Solomon? We have the world's wisest fool. He can make the Guinness Book of World Records. Wait a minute. He's either a fool or he's wise. No, he is the world's wisest fool. We read the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and we learn from this very wise man who could be an absolute fool. Oh, what a paradox. That's his life. Now, you know, in the world of men, you know, just mortal men, we marvel at paradoxes at some time. The world's most famous scientist, Albert Einstein, learned to talk when he was 6 years old. Now, I know some two-year-olds who can do that. This retarded kid, he's 6 years old. Mommy, daddy, 4 years late, finally figured it out. Becomes the world's most famous scientist. The most famous symphony ever written by Beethoven, his 9th symphony in D minor. He wrote when he was utterly deaf. So he could not conduct an orchestra to perform it, but he sat in the front row and they performed it. People applauded wildly. But he couldn't hear them, so they turned him around so he could see the applause. A deaf man, creating the world's most famous piece of music. And the most famous speech ever given by an American president, Abraham Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address. He wrote it on the train ride to Gettysburg. Scrawled it on a piece of paper, what he was going to say, made the address. It so moved people that no one applauded. And Lincoln went home and thought it was a flop. It became the most famous speech ever given by an American president. It's 4.5 minutes long. We have our paradoxes. We have things that are not what we expect, but that's what happens. And they grab our attention. And we are paradoxes. And then the kingdom of God, if you will, is filled with them. And I want to share just one here that is really, I would call it quite amazing here. Let me just, quick, so when I say paradox, let me mention a few. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. That's a paradox. And Jesus taught that, Matthew 20:16. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. In Matthew 23:11. You know how strange that is? He that is greatest among you will be a servant. In the ancient world, that would translate, he who is greatest among you will be your slave. That's the best translation of that passage. And in Genesis 9:24, we're introduced to the servant. Ham has disgraced his father, and his descendants are cursed. And the curse is, a servant of servants you will be. So when Jesus says, you know, the greatest among you shall be a servant, according to the word of God, the greatest among you shall be a cursed thing, forced and made to serve others. It's a strange thing, but he said it. And I want to show you, if you will, how to put that thing together. And what you need to do is go to Luke chapter 17 to understand this. The disciples came to Jesus and they said to him, Lord, increase our faith. They knew something was lacking. And, you know, Jesus could have done a couple of things. We know the answer to that. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, we know the answer, but that's not what Jesus said. Or he could have gone to John chapter 4, I think it's verse 23, and said, you will not believe unless you see signs and wonders. Meaning, you just hang around me, watch me do some more miracles, and you'll get it. You'll believe if you see enough miracles. Or if you keep in the word and study the word, your faith will grow and it will increase. He could have given them either of those answers. But the Lord, he delighted in paradoxical responses. That's not what he said to them. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, there's three miracles involved here. Sycamine tree is, in the scriptures, either a mulberry tree or a sycamore tree, and they're huge. Both of them are huge. They're related. And first miracle, you got to rip the thing out of the ground. Second thing, you got to transport it to the ocean. And third thing, you got to plant it in the saltwater sea. And how much faith do you need for this? A mustard seed. I told you, there are paradoxes in the kingdom. So the message then seems to be, take the little bit of faith that you have. Of course, a mustard seed you plant in the ground. The ground, we're made from dirt. Speaks of investing in people's lives and giving yourself to serve others. But just, you know, plant it and it'll grow. With a little bit of faith. I got to experience it this week. I knew I was going to speak Friday night, and Wednesday my wife said, I'm going on outreach. And I thought, oh, I can't wimp out. If I'm going to preach Friday night, I better show up for outreach at least once during the week. I mean, so how much faith did I have going out? Well, maybe someone will listen to us. I don't know. Maybe someone will pray. It could happen. Well, it's the right thing. I'll go. Oh, ye of little faith. You got it. And the second person we talked to was a very kind, benevolent, friendly fellow. And we invited him to church. He came Wednesday night. And we didn't have to preach much because he just watched you people. And it was powerful. And he came last night. And afterwards, he says, "Pastor, I'm out of my box." I says, "Do you like it?" "Yeah." And he prayed to receive Christ. He's with us tonight. Tyrone, stand right up. Okay. "You mean you can win souls just because you go so your wife doesn't think you're a wimp?" "You can go places with a mustard seed of faith." And I think we've made it around the world that way. Amen? Well, let me finish, because Jesus is not finished here. Then he tells one of his famous stories. "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? It will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherein I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards then you shall eat and drink.' Doth not he thank that servant because he did that which was commanded him? No, no thanks at all. So likewise ye, when you have done all these things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" Jesus did not tell them faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They had been hearing the word of God from the word of God. And still something was lacking. He did not tell them just watch the signs and wonders that I do until your faith grows. He could have. He didn't. He said, serve and be a servant and expect no appreciation or thanks in return. And say to yourself, I've only done that which was commanded me. Well, then does that mean we just need to be servants and we don't need to hear the word of God? Not at all. The contrary. If your purpose is to be a servant, as God called you to be a servant, to serve cheerfully, to serve long hours, to serve effectively, to serve without getting bitter, angry, jealous, depressed, all those things, quitting, to serve, you will need the word of God. If you purpose to be a servant, the word of God becomes your food. And he first wants a servant. And then he'll make a preacher or a missionary or a teacher or a prayer warrior or a soul winner, whatever. If he can get you to that place, we say, I just want to be his servant. At that place, you'll tear the sycamore tree out of the ground, give it a heave, and plant it in the ocean. Amen.
It was great, right? Right? It was good word. Oh, wow. How can we just like go right into the next message? Just digest that. You got it? I'm sure you do. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, that was great. Let's see, the two wolves. Definition of paradox. Paradoxes in life. Yeah, wasn't that good? Yeah, praise the Lord. Are you ready for the next message? Huh? Ready to roll? Okay. Are we going to forget that one?
No.
It's like eating candy. You just eat one and I want another one. Do you remember the first one? No, I don't remember the first, but I got another one coming. I'm taking another one. Okay. Pastor Horn from New Hampshire, can you remind me, can you lead us in one of the songs? I went at a service, went, you know, tomorrow morning or something. Are you going to be here tomorrow? In the early morning? Or at 11? Okay, yeah. I thought of it the other morning, but we can't have you leave without singing. Also, Mary LaFlame, is she here too? Yeah. We can't, no. Oh, no. This is a paradox that we would have a conference and not have you singing. All right. The next speaker is Pastor Teplo from Moscow. God has really put his hand on his life, teaching him, using him, and we want to welcome him tonight here. Thank you, Pastor.
Good evening. What a wonderful day. Is camera is here? Okay. Russians? I'm coming back. Proverbs 16:19. It said that better to be of the humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Amen. So let's repeat one more time. Better to be of the humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. Wonderful. You can say to your neighbor, I would better be with you tonight than divide the spoil with the proud. But the spoil, no. The humble spirit and lowly people. But the spoil, I want to spoil. No, humble spirit and the lowly people in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this great day. We are in a great expectation of the word of the pastor and of the miracles of the healing. Thank you, Jesus. You are faithful to every single of us. Thank you, Lord. Bless these few thoughts in your name. We pray. Amen. Ecclesiastic 10, verse 10. It will be short. Ecclesiastic 10, verse 10. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Let's read one more time. If the axe is dull, who among you has ever chop the wood with the axe? Raise your hand. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Who among you has ever chopped the wood with the dull axe? Okay. Who among you has ever chopped the wood, continue chopping the wood with the dull axe? Is it hard? Is it difficult? I can imagine. You just chip, and then chip, and then chip. No any effect. Why? Because the edge is dull, because the X is dull. Who can change it? Who can bring success? Huh? Wisdom can bring success. Sometimes the life of the believer can be so hard, can be so difficult, because he has a dull X. And nothing. And God is saying, how are you doing? I am tired. I am anxious. I am angry. Yes? I am not satisfied with my life. And God is saying, of course, because your ex is dull. Would you like me to help you? Because I am the wisdom. Because I build the house. The Proverb 9:10. I build the house. And I put seven pillars there. And I prepare what? The table. And I call every simple to come to sit at my table. And I'm crying out. Jesus is crying out, come to me, do not be here. And use much strength and without any effect. Come to me and sit at my table. And I will teach you, and I will guide you, and you will be your mind will be sharpened. Come, who? Simple. Who else? That who lack understanding. The brain that, bird brain, come to me. This is very easy. The Christian life is wonderful. The life of faith is easy because we humble enough not to go outside and to divide the spoil with the proud, but we would like to be here at the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will teach us, and we will know His heart. Then He said, I want to bring into your life success. This is very simple. I want you to be good messenger. I want you to be good preacher. And this is simple. I wanna teach you. And I said, yes, Lord, what do I need? Come and be with me. Be with the body. Enjoy. Receive. You don't know what happened? I sit with Jesus. And right away, my axe is sharpened. I'm just a chop, 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 chop. And the smile and my face. I chop, chop. Are you tired? No. Chop, 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 chop. Why is that? Because he gave me the heart of wisdom. Because he is with me, and he is leading me, and he is guiding me. And I love him, and I love to listen to him, because I know his heart, and I know that he is going to bring success in my Christian life. Why? Because of His grace. Because He wants us to be very rich in heaven. I don't want you to be there and put much strength in it. I want to be here with me at the table. And Jesus said, you will be brought in front of the kings and rulers. Don't even be troubled what to say and how to say and when to say. Trust me, I am going to give you mouth and the wisdom and all your adversaries will not resist you, and my Father will be glorified greatly. Amen. Thank you.
Isn't it amazing how, excuse me, the Spirit ministers to us, and that message on the X being dull, and then, you know, it's sharp, and how easy life can be that way. And just, you know, the anointing of God teaching us. And we believe that about healing tonight, that it is possible that God could heal. And I'm sure there's some people here tonight that need a touch from God that way, a healing, a real, amazing, miraculous healing. Can it happen? Yes, it can. It can. God heals. Can he change something? Yes, he can. He can turn water into wine. Yes, he can. Can he take away leprosy? Yes, he can. He can. He can just take it away. A dead man, you just think of a dead man, 4 days dead, totally, completely, no question, dead. Christ says, Lazarus, come forth. How did that happen? I don't know. God is a God of every atom, every human cell, every nerve, tissue. Think of Pastor Carl in India tonight. Pastor Morrison with us here tonight. God is a healer. God is the God of all parts of our body, all parts of our lives. God is the God of the Red Sea. How about the frogs and lice, the cattle in Egypt? God is the God of life and death. God just speaks and it happens. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And he got up and he just walked. And there was no discussion. It just happened. It did. It happened. The man got up and walked. What is it that God could not do? No, with God all things are possible. And Lord, we're believing you for that. So in our service just now, we're going to, any other pastors that want to come down, we have about 30 bottles of oil here, small. And we want to give for the next 20 minutes. We'll just do this, ask these pastors to go through the back and walk through and get on the sides and have a little bottle of oil. So come on up. Pastor Steve will accommodate you. And take a bottle. Go to the corner. Go to the back. Go to the middle of the aisle. Go around. And then as we sing, if you want to sit in your chair, you can. If you want to stand up, you can. If you want to leave your seat and go to one of these men and have them touch you and lay their hand on you, anoint you with oil, then you can do that by faith. By faith, God said, by faith. The 10 lepers, Jesus said, go. And as they went, they were healed. And I wonder how their bodies changed. They had a foul smell, a foul life, a dirty clothes, and they had disease and putrefying sores, and maybe members of their body were missing, like their digits. As they went, they were healed. How do you explain that? This is the point of a miracle. It's not, we cannot, by human terms, just walk down to the back, gentlemen, just go on back, spread way out, go away to the corners and everywhere, down the middle aisle, two in the middle aisle, two in the aisles, and okay, good, thank you. As they went to the priest, Jesus said, go to the priest. And as they were going, they were healed. And wow, fresh air in healthy lungs, bodies miraculously transformed and healed. Wow. God is the God of every all material things. He can take food and multiply it. Just multiply the food, no problem. He is the God of the fish, the sea, the wind, the God of steel, gates in the book of Acts, chains falling off the hands. No, that cannot happen. Yes, it can happen. An angel appearing. How about in the book of Revelation in the tribulation period, miracles that will happen in the tribulation period and judgment on the earth by the supernatural power of God. God, we're talking about God tonight. We heard about it. We believe it. We have the Spirit of God. And we're going to just quiet, believe Him. Let's just do it by faith. Just go by faith. Come to Christ by faith. Talk to Christ by faith. Think Christ by faith. When you leave here tonight and get in your car or go eat something or be around, just say by faith, I'm going to walk by faith. Keep walking by faith through the night and in the morning by faith. I believe that God heals my body. Viruses, damage to our body from diseases through the years, maybe addictions, nerve problems, blood problems, whatever they may be, bone, back problems, pain, feet problems, all kinds of glandular problems, pituitary gland problem, eyes, the back of the eyes, the brain, all parts of our body, cancer, all kinds of cancer disappearing. God, you are our Father in heaven, and may we be healed and prosper as our soul prospers. Our soul is in good shape, but we need our body to follow suit, that our bodies would be healed. The bottom of our feet, maybe, problems, the neuropathy or whatever it is called, the nerve damage from diabetes. Diabetes, take it away. Addictions, take it away. Deal with it, Lord, and remove it and heal our physical body, because, Jesus, we're occupied with you all week. We're occupied with you in this meeting. We are occupied with your Holy Spirit. We're not walking in our sin. We're walking in faith. We are simple, relaxed, fervent, quiet, listening, receiving, humble people by your Spirit, Lord, dwelling in us. And we ask you to sweep through the congregation. On the internet, people listening on the internet, may they hear the word of faith and be healed. Paul was amazed sometimes. He fastened his eyes on a man. He knew he had the faith. And he said, rise, stand up. And the man was healed. Lydia, her heart was open to believe the things that Paul had said. And same with us. We are receptive.